This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 3, Nolina. The woodsy scent of dry leaves and mossy earth wafted up with each step. The weather was mild, and the trees provided the perfect amount of shade. The still of the forest was broken occasionally by the local birds or small wildlife. In other words, a pleasant day. Eric couldn't stand it. Not because of the woods itself, or the fact that he had been bound and was being hauled along behind a giant bear. Even the smug charlatan riding atop said creature was something he could handle, in normal circumstances, that is. No, it was because this place reminded him of home. The smells, the sounds, and, of course, the superstitious inhabitants all came together to force a spark of painful memories in him. At the sound of rustling papers, Eric pulled himself out of his sullen musings. He looked up to see Atlas sitting atop Barry, rummaging through the pack of his own meager possessions.
"Hey! Careful with those!"
Atlas pulled out the thick, leather-bound journal in which Eric had painstakingly recorded all his scientific findings across multiple worlds.
"Pretty pictures?"
He flipped through the pages, turning the book over on its side, unable to discern the images.
"Fancy words?"
He wrinkled his nose at the lack of people drawn between the pages. The red-haired man raised a brow as he tore out a page that illustrated a giant mushroom.
"What is this, anyway?"
Eric scowled.
"Technically, it's a treatise on organic variation and cultural evolution when viewed from a multidimensional perspective. But you can call it a book."
"Don't get huffy with me, Your Majesty." Atlas tossed the page over his shoulder.
"I know what a book is. I've studied hundreds of them back at the Academy."
His face began to pull into a gloating scowl when Barry made several grunts around the rope in his mouth. He rolled his eyes and threw his hands up.
"Fine, fine. I've skimmed hundreds of them."
He looked over his shoulder at his companion.
"Happy?"
Barry grunted again, giving him a satisfied nod. Eric stumbled over a root as he grabbed the discarded page and bumped into the side of the massive bear.
"Just be careful with them, please."
"All right, all right." Atlas tore his attention away from the doodles of small, hairy humanoids and snapped the book closed.
"Although, I don't really see how a bunch of scribbles will help you after we've turned you over to the Bandit Queen."
He shoved the book into the satchel and leaned back, throwing his arms behind his head as he snuggled into the thick fur of his friend.
"For the last time!"
Eric's mouth twisted down into a frown as he stumbled to catch up.
"I'm not who you think I am!"
Atlas shrugged, not bothering to open his eyes.
"And I've told you, it doesn't matter!"
He contemplated for a long moment before he reached inside his robe, pulling out a tarnished copper coin and tossed it to Eric.
"You look exactly like the Lost King, and as long as I get paid the hefty bounty, it doesn't really concern me if you are or aren't."
Eric leaned over to pluck up the coin with both hands. He squinted over the rim of his glasses, and what little detail he could make out did not help his case any. The profile stamped into the coin shared his nose, his crooked grin, and even had what appeared to be a similar shock of white in his hair. He sighed and returned his gaze to his captor.
"And what do you think this bandit queen will do to you once I've explained who I am?"
Barry made a noise that almost sounded like a chuckle. Atlas chewed on his tongue for a moment, giving the bear a thump between the shoulders as he sat up. The long pause turned into several awkward minutes of intense consideration before he snapped his fingers. It cracked through the still of the forest, causing several birds to scatter from their perches.
"I'll just tell her you've gotten the way of a bad memory charm."
He ruffled the scruff of his friend's neck.
"Happened to Barry once. Thought he was a badger for a week."
Eric closed his eyes for a brief moment, saying a silent plea for strength.
"Look, I'm not a king. I'm just a traveler from a different world. This king of yours is probably just a parallel variant, meaning we look alike. That's all.
Atlas slid off the bear, tugging on the rope to get them to both stop.
Different world. So you are a magician, then?
What? No! Magic's not real!
Eric grunted as he leaned over to catch his breath. This was exactly the kind of thinking he had left his home to get away from. He straightened his back, leveling his gaze on the charlatan.
It's just a way for simple-minded folk to explain the unknown.
He used his bound hands to gesture vigorously to himself.
I am a scientist!
Atlas narrowed his gray eyes.
Are you calling me simple?
Eric's face formed a line.
To be fair, you did name your bear Barry.
Atlas raised a single brow, looking between his friend and the king.
No, I didn't.
Confusion was setting in.
His ma named him, not me.
Eric felt a twinge under his eye spasm.
Bears can't name other bears.
What? Of course not.
Atlas elbowed Barry in the side playfully.
Hear that? The king thinks your ma was a bear.
Barry leveled a flat stare at Eric and let out a long, exasperated groan.
No.
He wasn't always a bear.
Atlas let out a scoff and slapped his friend on the hindquarters.
Only a moron would make friends with a real bear. They're bloody dangerous.
Eric scrunched, his eyes closed.
Magic isn't real.
Ugh, this again?
Atlas threw his hands up in defeat.
I don't understand how you can say you don't believe in magic. You've already seen plenty.
What? No, I haven't.
Let's see, shall we?
Atlas began ticking off things on his fingers.
Not including Barry, there was the endless fire, the intruder alarm, and of course, the sleep spell.
He nodded his head, cementing his victory in this argument.
Sleep spell?
Eric frowned. The lump on the back of his head had been providing him with a throbbing headache since he had woken up.
You hit me over the head with a tree branch.
He enunciated each word. Atlas shrugged.
All right, you got me. But casting it with that branch was a lot faster than actually casting a sleep spell. Not to mention if I messed it up, you might never wake up.
He turned back to his companion and shot him a wicked grin.
And it doesn't matter what you tell the bandit queen. She just has to know we picked you up in the Forest of the Dead, and she'll give us our bounty. No more questions asked.
Barry rolled his eyes, letting out a long, disgruntled huff.
Forest of the Dead?
Eric felt something snap in his sanity.
I can't take this place anymore, and I'm not going to be turned over by a fake magician and his trained pet.
He could feel his blood pressure bubbling over as his heart thumped angrily against his chest. He began tugging against the rope, thrashing back and forth, but the bear's jaw was like a steel trap. Atlas watched the grown man throw himself down on the ground like a sullen child and furrowed his brow. He leaned over, dropping his voice to a whisper.
Barry, are you sure this guy is the king? I've heard he was temperamental, but I don't think this is what they meant.
Barry responded with several grunts and a huff before dropping to the ground himself. He rested his head on his giant paws and snorted into the dirt. Atlas gave a nervous chuckle and cast about for anything to distract himself from the uncomfortable display. It was nearing midday and they could do with the rest anyway. A rustle from the nearby thicket caught his attention. With any luck, it could be their lunch, so long as the man-child didn't scare it away. In one swift motion, Atlas tugged a knife from his belt and flung it into the brush. Something yipped in surprise and vanished deeper into the foliage. He cursed under his breath and pushed further in past the branches, squinting into the dark with his one good eye. There was definitely something out there, small and fast, probably a hare or even a fox. No big loss, he thought, as rabbit wasn't that high up on his list of favorite food items. He lingered for a moment before snapping his fingers, and the lost dagger returned to its sheath. He was debating with himself about venturing farther in when the tantrum came to an abrupt end.
What the hell is that?
Atlas spun on his heel and burst out of the thicket to see the Knot King pointing with both tethered hands. Something had emerged from the brush on the other side of the game trail they'd been following. A grin crept over his face as he moved closer. That, Your Highness, is why this is called the Forest of the Dead. Eric watched in horror as a thing shambled out from between two large trees. It stumbled over its own broken ankles and continued on past the bear as if it hadn't noticed him. Skin and bits of muscle were sloughing off its bones, and portions of its body were held together by thin strips of sinew or the tethering of armor. Most of its face was hidden beneath a lopsided metal helmet with lengths of stringy white hair poking out from beneath. The thing ambled across the dirt road, dragging itself along despite the cracking of bones and joints with each step. It continued on without so much as a flinch of recognition to their existence, melting into the shade of the forest on the opposite side of the path. Eric watched it go, a welling sense of unease rising like bile in his gut. Of course, he'd read about parasitic fungi that consumed and controlled its victims, but he didn't see any signs of spores on the creature, and the deteriorated musculature should not have been able to support its own weight, let alone walk. They barely had a moment to recover when the rustling of leaves once again caught their attention. Eric felt his mouth fall ajar as a second undead stepped out of the shadows. This one was shorter than the last and devoid of armor. It wore a long, tattered smock over simple farmer's clothes, with leather boots laced up its frail legs. Several arrows were protruding from its chest and one from its neck. As the creature turned dead, milky white eyes towards him, Eric scrabbled back until he was pressed up against Barry. Its gaze followed him, their eyes connected, and a spark of recognition lit up the undead's face. It lifted a severely broken arm to level a crooked finger at him, and a rasping sound escaped its mouth, like an ill wind raking across empty branches.
Oh, this one likes you.
Atlas never lost his grin as he leaned over and plucked the would-be king up off the ground.
Which is odd, because most of these people don't acknowledge the living.
He ran his fingers down around his chin. Eric's brow knitted together as he scrambled to move around the other side of Barry as the creature began to amble towards him.
People? This thing is a monster!
Atlas made a mocking gasp.
Now that is a rude thing to say!
He moved next to the undead, clapping it hard on the shoulder, knocking a chunk of muscle free on accident.
This here was a person, a proper citizen of this great nation, and a patriot to boot.
Atlas spun the undead creature to face him, staring into its miserable face.
He probably had a name, like George or Bob. Yeah, he looks like a Bob.
His smile dampened as a somber look creased his brow.
He looks like he was just a simple farm man, tending to his carrot crops so he could support his loving wife, Ada, and their two children.
Eric looked on in horror as the undead took no notice of the other man standing beside him, or even when Atlas began dusting off the thing's smock. It had eyes only for him and was slowly trying to break free to get to him. Eric swallowed the terror in his throat and continued to scrabble backwards as far as the rope would allow.
Okay, so this place wasn't exactly like home.
Atlas gave Bob one final tap on the shoulder and pulled away.
This just proves my point. Only an idiot or the king would be caught dead out here in these woods.
A smile crawled across his face.
Because the king is the one who made them.
Eric trembled, panic overriding his sense of logic.
I'm not the king! Just let me go!
He tore against the bindings once more. The undead paused. It shuffled a step closer, its hands outstretched, reaching for the knot around Eric's wrists. Atlas clicked his tongue against his teeth as he pulled the creature back.
"I'm not the king," he says, before shouting an order that this here fellow is compelled to follow. "You almost had me with that temper tantrum you threw." He gestured with a finger at the undead. "But Bob here proves it." He turned to his friend, the grin on his face widening. "And we're going to be so rich, Barry."
Eric's mind was racing. He had to escape. There would be no reasoning with this madman. Everything from feigning a heart attack to starting a fistfight with the bear flashed in his mind. He grimaced to himself. He had never been any good with escape plans. He didn't want to admit it out loud, but right about now would be when his brother would usually swoop in and save him. Sure enough, Eric heard the rushing of footfalls approaching from behind them. He looked over his shoulder, half relieved, half annoyed with his brother's heroics. Instead of a flash of red, something small darted out of the brush with a glint of silver. Evan extended his knives out to his sides in a wide fighting stance. He let out a guttural, high-pitched battle cry and charged straight for the bear. Despite being more than 20 times the tiny merc's size, Barry backpedaled in a dead panic. He dropped the rope as he let out a shrill whine of terror. Evan ran right past them, darting around the bear and jumping into the brush on the other side of the path, leaving them all behind. There was a pregnant pause before he popped his head back out, shaking away the leaves on his face. He glared up at Eric before the other two even had a chance to grasp what had just happened.
"Get the wet out, you moron!"
Eric stumbled into action, crashing straight through the thicket at a dead run. Branches and thorns cut at his skin and clothes, and every few feet he tripped over something new, careening side to side as he followed the tiny blur ahead of him. Sandals were really not made for forest running, but then again, he was supposed to be on a beach right now. Atlas watched as his retirement plan disappeared into the woods and shoved his hands on his hips. He turned to his friend, his face falling in disappointment.
"Barry! How could you let that little runt make off with our bounty?"
He shook his head, cutting the bear off as he started to protest.
"We don't want to hear it. We finally had a plan that could actually make us money, and you let your fear of dwarves get the better of you."
Barry let out several grunts that sounded like an apology as he got to his feet. He pushed his nose to the dirt and began to sniff, shoveling dead leaves around as he struggled to pick up the tiny man's scent.
"Give it up, buddy. We both know you couldn't sniff out an incontinent skunk."
Atlas laid a hand on the bear's back, patting it consolingly.
"At least we still have Bob here. You think we could sell him to one of those roving circus troops?"
Barry gave a defeated grumble. The undead, or Bob as it were, started to shuffle in the direction of the woods where the king had disappeared. Its joints cracked and snapped with every step, but it ducked beneath the branches and climbed over roots, apparently set on an unseen path to follow. A grin tugged at Atlas's freckled face.
"Would you look at that? Would you say we just follow our new friend? We'll have the king back before the local bandits even know we're here."
He rubbed his hands together, watching a small purple spark erupt from his fingertips.
"I love it when a plan comes together."
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
Mushrooms, plants, rock formation, another plant, a small furry animal, another plant. Oh, and look! A plant. 200 pages of drawing after drawing, and not a single naked lady. Why do you not have a one-track mind? That was different. What was I supposed to do? Her husband was away on business. It's not my fault he came back early. Listen, I don't want to hear it. I may have gotten us lost in this forest, but you lost our meal ticket. Anyway, there's got to be something to write with in here. Ah, I think I'll make a small addition to his cultural research as we walk. a circle here, a circle there.